while you turn to the 25th chapter of Leviticus.
Leviticus chapter 25.
And ask me if I ever got the preacher's itch.
You know, where you felt like you just...
I may have had that at one time. But it's been so long, I don't remember. I've been preaching since I was 15. And I really don't... I'm not infected with that. Not that I don't enjoy preaching, amen, or teaching. But I just don't... If I'm not preaching, I'm just not pining. Man, I can't wait till it's my turn. Amen. But I was thinking about the service today and praying about the service. And this is what come to me. In the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, it's mainly talking about the year of Jubilee. And verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are coming to the land which I give thee, then ye shall keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow in the field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow in thy field, nor prune in thy vineyard. And that which groweth of its own accord thou shalt harvest. Thou shalt not reap, neither gather grapes of the vines undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hard servant, for the stranger that soul journeyeth with thee. For thy cattle, for the beasts that are in the land, and they shall all thy increase thereof be meat. Thou shalt number the number 7 Sabbaths unto thee, 7 times 70. By the space of 7 Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make a trumpet to sound throughout your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. This is where the saying was inscribed on the liberty bell. It comes from right here in Leviticus 25 and 10. And to all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and every man unto his family. And Jubilee shall be a 50th year unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap, which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes of it in thy vineyard. For it is the Jubilee, and it shall be holy. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. If you sell aught unto thy neighbor and buy aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years thou shalt buy thy neighbor, and according to the number of years the fruits he shall sell thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. According to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years, of the fruit he sell, and doth he sell unto thee. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but you shall fear the Lord. You shall fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Turn around and tell somebody, proclaim liberty. I'll preach to you for a little while today, if the Lord will help me, about Jesus, our Jubilee. Jesus, our Jubilee. Turn around and tell somebody, Jesus, our Jubilee. Amen. Will you pray with me, eternal God? We're so thankful for your Spirit and your presence. We ask you, dear God, to help us today. Oh, Lord, I love you, Father. I appreciate you. Dear God, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Touch us, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There was a few times that Israel obeyed the statute. But the majority of the times it went unobeyed. And toward the end of Israel's history as an ancient nation, the prophets came and prophesied unto Israel and said, you're in trouble. And one of the major complaints the Lord had with them, that they had not kept these yearly Sabbaths and allowed the land. Matter of fact, because of that, he sent them into bondage for 490 years. Israel wound up being in bondage. He took a year for a day and sent them into bondage. And Israel, under the affliction, and there still may be a week of those years in the future involved. That's up for theologians to work that out and to fuss over that. Nevertheless, there were several things that took place during this year of Jubilee, really three major things that I like to preach about today. Amen. It'd be good today if you could, amen, read the whole 25th chapter. And it talks about in verse 35, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with thee. Thou shalt take no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God that thy brother may live forever. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals out of for thy increase. For I am your Lord that brought you out of Egypt, and I shall give unto you the land of Canaan and be your God. Then in verse 49 and in verse 47, amen, he talks about, amen, returning to Israel. Those folks, he said, if you've got any slaves, if you've got any slaves that you have enslaved and they're bound, they're in debt, amen, back in that time in history, if you, amen, how many can remember? I don't really remember them, but I remember them talking about them, the poorhouses. You ever hear your folks talk about, you're going to wind me up in the poorhouse. Amen. Literally in America years ago, there were such a thing as poorhouses. And what would happen if you finally, that was before the welfare day, and if you finally lost all that you had, they had some house or some home that they would keep you in and take care of you, and you'd do menial tasks, and you'd get menial food, and when anybody asked you, say, where do you live? Amen. Amen. You'd say, I live down at the, what a reproach it must have been to have been a occupant of the poorhouse. Well, praise the Lord. I know what some of y'all thinking. Some of y'all thinking, well, I'm living in the poorhouse now. No, I'm talking about bona fide, real poorhouse. Amen. But to live in the poorhouse where somebody else is providing for you, and you've lost all of your inheritance, and anything that you do make, amen, the guy that you owe gets every nickel of it, and you're in that poor, you know what? You're in the poorhouse, amen, your wife's in the poorhouse, your children's in the poorhouse, and if they have any kids, they're in the poorhouse. Everybody even wound up in the poorhouse because of your bad management, even your bad decisions, even a bad climate or whatever. Everybody's wound up in the poorhouse. And there was no way out unless, amen, you was able to live out those 50 years. And if you lived out those 50 years, on that 50th year, even a trumpet was sounded, and the year of Jubilee. You know what the year of Jubilee meant? Everybody in the poorhouse got to go back home. Amen, they got to go back to the home they lost. The field that they had lost. The ground that they had lost. The inheritance they had lost. I come to tell somebody today, Jesus is our Jubilee. And He came to redeem you out of the poorhouse. Woo! Glory to God. I like using old Matthew. Hallelujah. Amen. You think you live in poorhouse with Obed, ain't you? He says, you just ain't living there with Obed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But in the poorhouse, for every mark, for every stamp, even in the poorhouse, it wouldn't matter. Amen. Oh, you 50, it's a long time. How many know it's a long time? 50 years. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Joseph, you're doing all right. Man, was that lesson so bad Wednesday night that I moved you all the way back to? Huh? Well, come on up here to the front. Praise the Lord. I can't have my main deacon sitting back there. Amen. Everybody wonder. They think you've been chasing wild women or drinking hard liquor. You sitting way back there. Amen. Well, can you say praise the Lord? In the poorhouse. Well, 50 years is a long time. I know I'm 59, and it seemed like I passed Melchizedek on the way. I've been here a long time. 50 years is a long time. Hey, most folks ain't gonna live long enough to get out of the poorhouse. It would take 50 years. Hey, but if you held on long enough, and if you was around long enough, when 50 years rolled around and they blew that horn, amen, that meant goodbye, poorhouse. Amen, goodbye, slop bucket. Amen, goodbye. Amen, a stripe on my back and a chain on my leg. I'm out of here. It meant not out of 50 years. I'm out of here. But I come to tell you, my father Adam sold us into the poorhouse. And man was in the poorhouse, even for right at 5,000 years. Hey, but Jesus, our Jubilee, walked down and said, hey, I'm going to sound the trumpet, and you can go free. Get up out of that poorhouse. Amen. If drug and alcohol and tobacco and adultery and fornication and junk has you bound, it's hey, the trumpet's sounded. You don't have to live in that poorhouse another day. Get up and get out. Well, praise the Lord. Years ago, there was an attorney in the city of Chicago. And he got notice in the paper that there would be inheritances that would be left to people that they had never be claimed. I mean, thousands and millions of dollars. So he got the bright idea. I'll go down and take an ad in the paper, the Chicago Tribune, and I'll run these names. And then I'll act as their lawyers, you know. Your lawyers are acting for themselves, for they're acting for you. You do know that, don't you? If you don't, you will when you get the bill, praise the Lord. And he said, you know, if I just get 1 out of 100, praise the Lord, Sister Nessa, you're doing all right. Amen. Did you get the Holy Ghost today? 4th of July, Holy Ghost. And her and Brother Cotton will be twins. Glory to God. Amen. and Ola. So he put it in the paper that so-and-so money was left. And the story goes like this. I read it in Reader's Digest years ago. That there was a man that lived down on the other side of the tracks in a shanty. And somebody saw his name in the paper. That some long-lost relative had died and left him several $1 million. Man, they grabbed the paper and they run down there and tell the old guy. The old guy said, "You ain't messing with me. I've been broke all my life. My dad was broke. My grandpa was broke. I've been broke all my life. And when I die, I'll be broke and the state will have to bury me." I said, "Oh, man, I think this is you. That ain't me. Ain't nobody knows me. Got any money." And finally, this whoever it was got hold of the lawyer. And the lawyer goes down to the shanty and said, "Sir, I've looked this up. This is you. This is you. And you're worth several millions of dollars." That guy said, "You ain't making no fool out of me. I'm broke. I've been broke all my life. My dad was broke. My grandpa was poor. And when I die, I'll be broke in the state of..." Get out of here. Get out of here. He run the lawyer off. And finally, the lawyer went down and got the editor of the Chicago Tribune. And he thought that would impress the old bum. And they got to talking to him. And he said, "Man, you ain't make no fool out of me. I've been broke all my life. I've been poor. I ain't never had nothing. My daddy didn't have nothing. My grandpa didn't have nothing. And when I die, I won't have nothing. And the state will have to bury me." It looked impossible even to convince this man, amen, he was going to die in that tar paper shack, but he had millions of dollars that was in the bank that belonged to him. But finally they got Mayor Daley. And Mayor Daley pulled down there with that big old limousine and went and knocked on the door of that shanty. He said, Looky, why would I be here bothering you? I'm the mayor of Chicago. I got things to do." But they, and finally, because of who he was, even convinced that old bum to climb in that limousine, and that was the ride of his life. You know what? He may have always been poor, but he didn't die poor, and the state did not bury him. It was his all the time. I come to tell somebody that's living a long life, amen, amen, glory to God, a will has been made. He wills you to be saved. He wills you to be forgiven. He wills you to be redeemed. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I pastored a crazy old lady. We pastored several crazy old ladies. But, well, one father. This woman, Brother Moore, I went on pray for her one day. It was in July, it was hot. She had a little fan that big blowing on her. She's sleeping on a mattress that thick. And I said, "The car lock, this heat's gonna kill you." I mean, her husband's one of the wealthiest men in the city. He had died. The woman did not know when she did die. They found millions of dollars in the safety deposit box. Boy, I lived high for her tithe. It's $10 a month. Praise the Lord. I don't know how she figured, but her calculator was stuck somewhere. She might have some kinfolks here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go and learn what that means. But I said to Carla, one night my wife and I were down to this little restaurant eating, and she had a fella that rented from her. And they come down there, and she'd get a glass of water and let him eat, and then she'd eat what was left. So she come to me. She said, "Brother, I don't know what to do." I said, "What?" Said, "My son wants to borrow $10,000. He wants me to cash a check for $10,000. You think I should do it?" I said, "Well, yeah, just go to the bank." "Oh, I don't have to go to the bank. I got here in my purse." I said, "You got $10,000 in your purse? You have to be nuts." Yeah, what I told her. "You driving that old rattle trap around? Somebody knocked you in there. I mean, you had to. I've been praying all the way to the wherever. She driving that old rattle trap around." I said, "You go home right now, and amen. You call that dealership. You tell them to get you a car down here. I'm gonna be preaching your funeral. Somebody knocked you in the head." She said, "Well, okay." But she died. She lived and died as a pauper. God bless her heart. I loved and preached her funeral. Praise the Lord. Didn't get paid for it, but I preached it. It's all that tithe that I got made for. But, you know, what a horrid life to sleep on a mattress like this. I don't know what happened in the winter. I'm going to tell you what. There's folks that's in this house today. You're sleeping on a bed that thin. You're living so way below your privilege. But you all be glad you're at the will reading today. I come to read you the will. That I am come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. Jesus is going to get you out of that hell hole that you're in and put you in His house. Amen. Bless Samuel's mother. Samuel's mother said it like this. "He has brought me from the dunghill to sit among the princes of this earth." I wonder if God wants to take you out of that dunghill. Yes, Jesus is our jubilee. You can leave redeemed today. That's one thing that happened was you were redeemed. Everybody say redeemed. Then the next thing that was happened, you were received. Got your house back. Got your well back. Got your old humpback camel back. Your old swayback mule. And got your old dog back. You are restored. Oh, God's got some things He'd like to restore in your life that life has taken away from you. Jesus! It's our jubilee. You don't have to be without peace. You don't have to be without joy. Oh, glory to God. You don't have to be without hope. You don't have to be without help. You don't have to be without contentment. Jesus wants to be your jubilee and restore those things back in your life. Glory to God. I'll pray for you earlier, but I want to pray for you right now. God's going to do something for you right now. come right on out in this aisle. I feel like praying for you. I don't want to wait another minute. Just come right behind the glory to God. Ooh la 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 masata makoya. She no mokoya na baha. Yina la la masata baha. She kata la bo yata la ba. Yanda bako sata la makaya baha. Ooh la 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 mahanda la la bahaya. Oh, the Lord is saying, restoration. Jesus' name. You're going to tell a difference after today. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Jubilee, wants to restore to you what the devil's taken away. Why don't you look up right now and say, I want mine back. I want mine back. Woo! Want my children back. Want my grandchildren back. Want my companion back in the house of the Lord. Want my health back. Want my peace back. Want my joy back. Want my hope back. Woo! Jesus is our Jubilee. Devil lie to you, tell you everything's always going to be the same. Not going to change. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. That's a lie! Jesus wants to be your Jubilee. He wants to make some changes in your life to get back what the devil has stolen from you. You can be without so long, you can get adjusted to being without. Amen. I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants your life to be full. Let's love Him one more time. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I love you, Jesus. Oh, you're our Jubilee, Lord. Jesus is our Jubilee. You can be seated, praise the Lord. So, He's our Jubilee in that He's our redemption. He's our Jubilee in that He is our restorer. Then number three, He is our Jubilee in that He is our rest. And I'm going to tell you what. The devil is busy today taking folks' peace and rest away. That's why it's important to get in service. I thank the Lord for all the wonderful Bible classes I heard at my pastor's feet and wonderful lessons on the Godhead. Man, when I was at church, he taught us 2 years on the tabernacle. Every Sunday and Thursday. I mean, 2 years we heard that. I mean, you know. And had a big old chart about the end time and Daniel and Revelation. So we had a year of that. Amen. He called an extra night. He was up there sitting for 2.5 and 3 hours. Amen, listening to that. And I got some wonderful. On one side it said, Son of Man. And on the other side, it said, the Eternal God. Spent all the time preaching how He was a man. But how He was also God. Oh, man. You just a young boy. I got that. But all that wonderful teaching that I got on worship and everything. Told me it wasn't even in church, but he told me he was going down the road one day. He said, Brother Effie, or call me Brother Steve. He said, Brother Steve, let me tell you something important. Well, my ears perked up. He said, don't ever go to church without getting touched. That's the most important thing I can tell you. You either get touched in prayer, get touched in worship, or get touched in preaching. He said, you'll stay in church. If you're determined in your heart, I'm not going to church without getting touched. I worry about folks that I see go service after service after service after service, and they never show any evidences of being touched. I'm not talking about rolling the floor or turning somersaults. I'm just talking about being touched. Ever how God touches you. Our church didn't have prayer before church. They didn't practice that. They don't get there about, they get there at 6 o'clock and 5:30 and yak to church time. Praise the Lord. I don't know what they found that was so interesting to talk to each other every blessed church. But, you know, I said, well, I'm not going to make no scene. So, right like it is here, right behind the baptistry, there was a big long room. There was a Sunday school room, and they'd get folks ready for baptism. I got going back there and praying just by myself. You know, I thought Andy was talking about his dad today. Well, my mother was a missionary Baptist, and my dad was a charismatic before they knew what to call him. So I didn't have no heritage. There wasn't nobody living for God in our house but me. Went that little old school of Morton's Gap. I was the only person at Morton's Gap school that was baptized in Jesus' name and had the Holy Ghost. That's it. There wasn't nobody to fellowship with him. That was just it. So I had to learn to go through my fights by myself, the majority of them. So by the time church service would roll around, I'd be kind of weighted down. And I wanted to get something out of service, so Brother Russell said, you need to get touched. Man, I'd go in that prayer room. I'd try to get to early and get in that. Wasn't no prayer room, it's just a room. And I got praying back there in that room. I got praying. After a while, another young man or two that was having some battles, they got back there and got praying. Before I left there, we had a whole room full of folks that was praying. I'm going to tell you what. You know what I learned? I learned. For Isaiah said, for line upon line and precept upon precept. And here a little and there a little. Amen. 28 and 11 of Isaiah. Yeah, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. For this is the rest wherein the weary is called to rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will... I ain't worried about what day is the Sabbath. Jesus is my Sabbath. He is my rest. He is my jubilee. He is my jubilee. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'm here to tell you, if you've wrestled with it and wrestled with it, and wrestled with it, and wrestled with it, and wrestled with it, you ought to give it to God and take His rest. Why don't you raise your hands? Love Him right now. Brother Corcoran says, why pray when you can worry? Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm going to depend on You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to trust in You. Never, we'll forget one time. Had somebody had an accident and they took him to the hospital. Somebody had called me. Man, I jumped in my car, Brother Moore. I was driving like a maniac getting down that hospital.
to be careful. And according to me, the scripture, he that believeth shall not make haste. He said, what are you going to do when you get there? I was kind of eased off that desert. You know what? I wasn't no healer. What was I going to do? I'd just be another one standing around the room and saying, boy, it's bad. And the Lord learned me a lesson. You know, he's in control. If it gets done, we're going to obey the Bible, do what the Bible says do. But the Bible said, as the prayer of faith is prayed, he raises him up. In your hand. One fellow said the Lord told him never touch anything sinful with his right hand. He said it'd be somewhere and he'd move cigarette ashtrays with his left hand. Maybe the Lord told him that. I don't know. The main sinful thing he's moving around with his right hand was him when he's washing his face or combing his hair. He'd have to cut the right hand off. Lord. That's why you pray for some folks and they get better, and some folks and they die. Because when it's said and done, he wants the glory. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm one more prayer warrior. You give your request to me, and I'll pray and it'll get done. Well, you pray for a lot of stuff. Be trodden where angels are afraid to trod. Amen. But brother, that is when you give it to God. There it is, Lord. I don't care. There it is. And he can give you, then you can rest. So what's going to happen? I don't know. I've given it to God. See, folks, struggling over a lot of things. You need to quit struggling with that and give it to God. You can't do nothing about it. You can't do one blessed thing about it. You need to pray to a place where say, there it is, God. Because Jesus is your jubilee. And in that jubilee, while the musicians come, in that jubilee, there's rest. There's redemption. There's restoration. And there's rest. Can you raise your hands and love him? And 25 and 10 said, and proclaim liberty throughout the land. I'm proclaiming liberty today. I don't care what's got you bound. You don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is just the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Why don't you, while your head's bowed and your eyes is closed, why don't you give it to God right now? Lord, I've wrestled with it. I've worried with it. I'm frustrated with it. I'm giving it. It's out of my hands, Lord. It's in yours. And I'm trusting you. I've trusted you all these years, God, and you saw me through. Come to tell somebody he'll pull you through if you can stand the pulling. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You only